You're listening to Cents Per Mile with your host, Charles Gracie, and his co-host, Paul Gibson. Joined by Josh Haynes, they'll be tackling tough industry topics, asking even tougher questions, all to find better solutions as they try to make sense make sense.
Welcome to Cents Per Mile. I'm your host, Charles Gracie.
And I'm your co-host, Paul Gibson.
Hey, I'm Josh Haynes. What are we talking about on today's episode, guys?
Retention.
Yep. Everybody talks about it. There's a lot of good ideas, and we're going to get the driver perspective and figure out what actually matters. But also, recent events. We're now on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and YouTube Music, Amazon Music, blah, 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 everywhere you listen to podcasts. So check that out. And if you want to, you can rate the podcast so we get a little bit more movement. And subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yeah, I mean, Cents Per Mile's kind of one of those things where it's evolved over time. One of the ways we've evolved is if you go to centspermilepodcast.com, you can suggest a topic, submit to be a guest, or bring on an event or sponsor to have us along.
Yeah, you can actually bring us out to your event and we'll party. You know, we can't do it without our listeners, and we can't go out and do cool stuff without our sponsors. Speaking of, who's today's sponsor, Charles?
We got Decker Truck Lines, driven to be the best. You should check them out at drivedecker.com.
All right, now that we got all the salesy stuff out of the way, time for the news. All right, so it's time for 10-2 News, where we go through CDL life and we find some of the coolest news stories that have came out in the past week or so. You know, always like to bring these up when they come up. So $888,000 in cocaine were seized from a tractor trailer in Texas. Now get this, when they tried to cross with it, the trailer was empty. So where was all this cocaine? It was under the trailer.
I mean, didn't we have one not long ago where they tried to wrap it in a wrapping paper to make it look like something else?
Yep. Yep. We had a guy who, it was in, I think it was a shipment of, if I remember right, a shipment of avocados. And then they just used avocado wrapping paper to wrap the drugs. You know, these people are just not super smart. But it was 28 packages, nearly 67 pounds. Not that I would know, but just like with the weed, it seems like inflation has hit the drug market. But it's interesting. You know, a lot of people always talk about, you know, like, oh, the border, all the, you know, and fentanyl is a real problem. I've lost friends to that. But at the same time, they're clearly doing something to stop some of this stuff.
I mean, this is like trucking's version of natural selection, in my opinion. Like, if you're dumb enough to try to get caught, you get what you get. Play dumb games, get dumb prices.
That's fair. All right, so on to our next story.
Speaking of dumb games and dumb prizes, you guys are hitting the lottery with these stories today. The Barnacle device?
Yeah, so the NYPD begins development or deployment of Barnacle device to combat illegal truck parking. Essentially, it is like a plate that goes over the windshield. I feel like I've seen them previously, but it's interesting to see New York starting to do it when that's already a hard enough place to go into. Drivers already don't want to go there. Now they're doing this. But, you know, we've seen a lot of creative ways to get past a boot.
I just imagine some guy hanging out the window driving, so because they blocked his window with this Barnacle device. It looks like, if you look at this picture, I mean, it clearly looks like someone put a board suction to the window. The driver, I could see people just leaning out the window. You already see drivers standing outside the truck when they're backing up. This is not too far-fetched, and I would not want to test this out in New York.
Yeah, you call Safelite and they'll come out and replace your windshield. What is it, like $99? That's not too bad.
Are we aiming for a Safelite sponsor here?
Hey, man, I'm into it. But all right. So with that being said, it is time to get behind the wheel. All right. So it's time for behind the wheel. You know, with CDL life behind us and being powered by them, we have access to the largest driver audience in the world. So we can actually get data from them and ask them questions and get real answers from real drivers about real issues. So since we're talking about retention today, we ask the question, what does your current company do that makes you stay? All right. So basically, there were lots of answers, and a lot of the answers had multiple things in them. So what this is the top five answers in order of popularity But like I said, some of the responses had multiple things in them. So these percentages aren't going to add up to 100%. It's just the percentage of how many comments had these answers in them. So at 23% was maintenance. And tied with that in fourth place was cares about mental health. All right. So now in third place, 30% of the comments mentioned gets me home on time and when I want, which is interesting how many people say that is a fallacy and kind of a dream. But if, you know, 30% of these people are saying that, someone's doing it right. then 38% in second place, which I thought would have been first, but second place at 38% was pays well. Now, I did not expect this to be number one. I did not expect this. This,
from a driver's perspective, this makes complete and utter sense, though.
Out of all the comments, the number one thing that was mentioned in 46% of all of the responses was they leave me alone.
They just want to be left alone. They don't need the broker, the dispatcher, everyone checking on them. And I mean, this makes sense. You think of all the technology that has come out recently to avoid this, and yet you still have that technology being implemented, and you still have someone calling someone at 2 a.m. in the morning to find out where you're at. Like, at a certain point, we have to accept that this is ugly.
That definitely actually makes sense. You know, it's like, oh, hey, we'll leave you alone, but also we're going to track you with all this stuff. Like the guy that we talked to, Matt, that was talking about that headset that can track fatigue and like let you know 30 minutes before you're going to involuntarily fall asleep. Yeah, that's just, I just did not expect that. I really did expect, you know, pay to be at the top, and home time to be up there. It's always good to see maintenance though, because that lets you know that there is, you know, a decent amount of safety minded drivers out there that actually take that as like,
well, that's how they keep rolling. That's how they make their money. So if you give them a POS that's going to break down everywhere on the side of the road, and you, not only do you risk their livelihood because they're going to get those equipment violations, but you're also risking their ability to make money. And we've already discussed that, so I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole of how many different contributing factors determine that.
It was interesting, though. There was one comment that specifically said that. It said, maintenance on scheduled intervals. Pay doesn't matter if I can't drive because no maintenance. And there's trash to move on. So it checks out. All right. But with that, it is time to go to our main topic. All right. So it's time to make sense. And talk about our main topic today, which is retention. So Charles, you having done the job, not necessarily based off what everybody said previously from behind the wheel, but what were the biggest factors for you as a driver?
You know, a lot of people go to the big ones like pay, home time, equipment, and those things have their place because those are core functions to do the job and be in some sort of comfort zone when you're doing the job. But I think the things that move the needle most for me were the small things. And I think this is the things that are often overlooked the most. Everyone thinks that there's this large cost to doing retention. There's small things that can move the needle quite a bit. One of the things that I still talk about to this day was the fact that someone actually called me on my birthday to wish me a happy birthday. It wasn't just like a blast message. It was a human being that said, hey, how you doing? They'd even send money on my card, my fuel card. So they bought me lunch while I was on the road. Like, it's small things that go a long way. It was my dispatcher taking time to get to know me. Got to know my family. Some of my dispatchers from when I drove are still friends with me on social media, and they see where we're at now. I mean, all we want to do is treat people like human beings and respect and have these conversations, understand that it is not a easy job to be out there and isolated. So be a person and offer that kind of camaraderie while they're stuck in that box rolling around and dealing with everything else that's happening out there.
I was waiting for you to say it, be a name and not a number.
No, that's not. It's so overplayed.
Your truck has one. That's how I'll refer to you. You know, that's my shtick. I think that is something that gets overlooked a lot. I think not just for drivers, but just in the general workforce. You know, like, sure, sometimes, you know, you'll have companies that do like one-on-one reviews and stuff like that to check in. But I mean, ultimately, even as an office employee, you know, like at previous jobs, like even when I was a recruiter, like you spend a lot of time wondering, am I doing good? Not only am I doing good, am I doing good enough by the company's standards? You know, that's one of the questions that pops up that gives a lot of workers and I'm assuming drivers a lot of stress. Like, am I up to their standards, or do I have a meeting coming up that I don't know about that says like, hey, you're kind of lagging behind? I think checking with people on that is huge. And then not only that, yeah, I mean, you want to work for somebody that you feel like you know, because that gives you the confidence that when your back's up against the wall in some terrible situation, that they're going to be there.
I mean, man, I go back to this one defining moment. I was working nights and I had a stellar driving record. I didn't even know what a ticket looked like. I took pride in my equipment, and accidents happen. When you do this long enough, things happen. So I was backing into a dock. It was late at night and I just turned it enough and caught the curb of a decline where you had those giant concrete walls that get deeper as you fall into there. And it just caught the wheel enough and caused my headlight to hit one of those yellow poles. Didn't cause any damage. It just cracked the lens of the headlight. Now, mind you, I've never had an accident. So I'm like, oh crap, they're going to fire me. I'm going down the list. Like, bam, 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 did this, took pictures, wrote a report, hit the safety guy up in the middle of the night. And he's like, Charles, it's just the lens of the headlight. Like, this is not a big deal. I'm like, I'm following the protocol. It's having moments like that where you can give that support, because it might not be a big deal to you, but it's a big deal to that person. And that means it should be a big deal to you. And giving them that support, giving them that guidance in that moment of crisis, a lot of people discredit that. But it doesn't have to be a big deal to you, because it is to them. And a lot of carriers do not let people know where those thresholds are. So I think, you know, talking to our guest that we got coming on today, we're going to be able to bring some light to this.
All right. So we will get to our first guest as soon as we take this ad break from Decker. That's a great video. Wonder who filmed it, Josh.
All right, so we're back, and right now we got Marilyn Serber. She's the VP of Sales and Marketing with Drivers Legal Plan. Welcome to Cents Per Mile, Marilyn.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. It's good to be here.
So I've known you for some time. You come from a very extensive background in trucking. So, you know, you're over at Drivers Legal Plan. Tell us a little bit about how drivers' benefits pertain to retention.
Yeah, absolutely. So the benefits that you can offer to a driver, kind of like what you were talking about, Charles, is sometimes those are the things that overlooked. I mean, you expect a company to have medical insurance and dental insurance and 401k. Those are just standard benefits. But drivers care about that, depending on, you know, different drivers care about different things and different benefits. But there are also a lot of other benefits, some that are traditional or non-traditional, like the phone call that you got on your birthday, right, that help, I think, show the drivers that you care and that you care about them kind of beyond just what they can do for you that day, right? Or as a recruiter, you know, beyond just being a hire, right? And Drivers Legal Plan is definitely, you know, one of those benefits. It is a program that helps drivers protect their livelihood for a small, you know, weekly fee, gets them a retainer with Drivers Legal Plan. And so if they have an accident or they have a ticket or anything like that, then they can get that handled at a reduced cost, right? And that having that benefit to offer, you know, to your drivers helps them feel that sense of comfort. Just like what you said, maybe something, it shows, oh, we do think this is a big deal. We're here. We have, you know, we have support for you if something happens. Because, you know, if you're a driver, your driving record is your livelihood. And so, again, it may not be as big of a deal for that, you know, at the ticket that for the safety guy. It's like, oh, well, it's only five over or whatever that may be. But for a driver, if you've never had a ticket, or that is a big deal. And so having, you know, having a benefit, someone to call that can, you know, work that ticket on your behalf, you know, and the carrier's behalf. I mean, there's a benefit, you know, for the carrier too. If carriers get tickets, then, you know, we can help with that as well. But I 100% agree is that is I think companies, we expect companies to pay us on time and well. We expect to get home. That's not too much for people, you know, for a driver to ask and to drive decent equipment. I think it is about those other little things that you can do to separate, you know, to separate yourself from other companies that really can move the needle on retention.
And not to mention what you guys are doing is huge. You know, considering I think we'd all agree that the drivers are typically guilty until proven innocent in all traffic situations.
The first thing I was told is assume everyone on the road knows nothing and is going to do everything wrong. And these programs are really cool, in my opinion, because they not only protect the driver's livelihood, but on top of that, you know, that does play into retention. You don't just have drivers that are getting out of the industry by choice. You have drivers that are being forced out because of lack of training and other things that result in tickets, and therefore they're unhirable or uninsurable. So this is one of those protections. So tell us a little bit about how these protective plans can, you know, play long haul for a carrier and massive savings.
Absolutely. Well, I think one of the things we know, and Becca might talk a little bit about this when she comes on, is, you know, there is definitely a correlation between safety and retention. And so if a driver has an accident or they get a ticket and the safety person calls and chews their ass out, right? Like, you can correlate turnover based on that, right? And so a program like this can help you mitigate some of that because you have a third party, you know, to hand some of those things over to that can help get in front of it. You know, Driver's Legal Plan has been in business for 30 years. They have data on, you know, all types of jurisdictions and different things. So we know, you know, where we can help people and where we can't. And so it's kind of, you know, bad news never gets better with time. And so if you are going to have to pay the ticket or you are going to have to do something, you can know what you're dealing with and get in front of it. And I think that that makes your fleet safer. And if your fleet is safer and more tenured, you know, your retention is going to be better. Those are just statistics. Becca's shaking her head, you know, from my time at a trucking company and then all my time at 10th Street, you know, those are definitely trends that we saw. And this is a program that can help you with that.
So if someone wanted to get a hold of you guys or a fleet wanted to implement you guys to protect their drivers, what's the way that they can do so?
They can go to our website, driverslegalplan.com. They can reach out to me on LinkedIn, Marilyn Server. We can help them, or they can ask their carrier. Their carrier might have it and they just don't know about it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on Cents Per Mile, Marilyn.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, that was rad. And that's actually sounds like some pretty cool stuff that they're doing over there. You know, 'cause like she said, that, you know, your driving record is everything. But yeah, so kind of a variation of our topic from earlier, real quick, we should probably talk about respect. You know, I make that joke a lot that, like, you know, respect isn't a job perk, you know, because being treated like a human should just be something that happens. But I mean, kind of talking about respect, you know, I'm a huge believer that respect has to be earned. And it also has to be earned through giving respect, because just because someone fears you doesn't mean they respect you, even though you might reap the benefits of that. That relationship's not there. So, Charles, I would say, you know, having been a driver, but then also additionally being an employer, how big of a role does respect play in managing your team, being managed as a driver, and what does that look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. And in my role now versus when I was a driver, I've kind of evolved my thinking of this. I think the burden falls on the employer. Someone has to take that first step. And when you're a driver, you're sitting around here and you don't really know what's happening because someone up here is making the decisions. The people that are in dispatch, the people in operations, the ownership of that company needs to instill in their team that they need to take that first step forward and make that person comfortable. They're in the unknown. When you walk into an organization and you're the new person, you are walking into the unknown where these people are already working together. They know what to expect. So I think the burden on that is definitely falling on the shoulders of the employer. And that's how I've at least treated it. When I bring people into our organization, I make myself available to them. I don't want them to feel like any question's a bad question. I generally want them to ask that question in front of everyone, because if they're asking it, chances are someone else might benefit from the answer. And I want them to get that team spirit going. I want them to work together and feel comfortable. One of the sayings I like to lean on around here is get comfortable being uncomfortable. And that only comes if they know they're in a safe space where they're going to be respected. And you're right, Paul. I laugh every time I hear it because it's so right, that the fact that we have to say it is a joke in itself. respect is not a job perk. So if you have that in your job ad, be better.
Right. And it's one of those things too, you know, like, and I mean, I feel like this is pretty across the board, you know, not necessarily just drivers. I feel like this is for everybody. Any human being who has a job, like it's one of those things like, yes, yeah, having a job is a very transactional experience, right? I love my job. I love hanging out with you guys. I love being the video guy for CDL Life along with Josh. But like, honestly, if I didn't get paid, I wouldn't be here because I got to feed my kids. I got to pay my mortgage, you know? fair enough. But I mean, yes, that's why we don't get paid for doing this. We just get paid for doing our day jobs. This is just for fun, because it gives us an excuse to hang out over long distances. I mean, that's why we have jobs. We have jobs to get paid. You know, and so with that, it's just one of those things where if you just leave your relationship with your employees, your drivers per se, in this frame of reference, if you just leave it at that transactional stage and there is no relationship, which this whole season has came back on, if that's not there, then nobody's going to want to work for you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, go back to me, you, and Josh. That's a relationship that's been years and years of cultivating and growth. You know, when we met, I was standing in front of a summit and you asked what I did. I said, a third party recruiter. And you said, oh, you're a piece of shit. And I'm sitting there like, no, I do it because I care and I want to help people connect the dots and I want to help them find meaningful employment. And the more we got to know each other, the more you jumped on the bandwagon of, hey, this can be done right. So here we have an exact, you know, model of what it looks like when it works. Because when you met me, you fell into the same stigma that many drivers think about third party. And I'm just trying to help people in the way I know how.
Well, yeah, or like a good example, personal one is like, so Kevin, the new CEO, or new-ish, I guess it's been.
Yeah, he's no longer new after a couple of months.
But well, he went to his first mats this year, you know, and Josh and I and you were all running around like crazy. You know, and he actually took the time to, you know, like tell me and Josh, good job. You know, he could have just been like, oh, you did your job. But he went out of his way to let us know that, like, he felt like we knocked it out of the park. And I think those relationships and that level of respect and giving respect, I mean, that's how you get it. That's how you become a good leader. But that being said, time for another ad break, and then we will go to our last guest.
Too often, recruiters struggle to reach qualified applicants or prioritize which leads to contact. The answer to improving lead quality is amplifying driver intent by nurturing meaningful personal connections at the right time, when the applicant is still engaged and interested in your position. What if lead nurturing was as simple as a trained professional proactively making contact with your applicant, confirming the candidate's interest, and connecting the driver to your recruiting line? Well, with the Intent Engine, it really can be. No answer? No problem. You'll never waste time dialing and redialing. We'll make multiple attempts to follow up with every candidate and automatically follow up with a full application details or a call to action to connect with your team via text message. Our custom Intent Engine solutions will achieve your company's unique goals, from lead prioritization within your ATS to further nurturing or full app prioritization. 80% of drivers reached via the Intent Engine confirm interest in the position and are ready to connect with a recruiter immediately. Our Intent solutions are changing the game when it comes to enabling recruiting teams to turn leads into genuine driver relationships.
All right, we're back, and our next guest is Becca Matthews. She's the Client Success Retention Advisor at 10 Street. Welcome to the show, Becca.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here today. This is a topic that's near and dear to me, obviously.
It's important, and we started to see the theme of trucking focus on this pretty heftily this year. So, I mean, why does retention matter? What is the benefit of retention-minded recruiting and operations?
That's a great question. So it's so important, like as long as I've been in the industry. Now, I'm not going to age myself, but it's been a while. Let's just say that, right? I have seen retention as still in the top three industry issues from carrier's perspective of like, hey, Becca, what the heck can we do to retain these guys? And it really matters because it's yeah, okay, it's a financial thing. You can save some money on the bottom line, but that's not really the secret, right? It's kind of what you guys hit on of how do we treat anybody, drivers in particular, like people and respect them and understand the hard work that they do, right? And so what I always say is, I hate to tell you guys, you've already started the work all the way on the pre-hire side, vetting the drivers, getting them in the door. Now, what are you going to do to take care of them?
Wait, you mean people should be thinking past just getting them in the chair?
Exactly. It's a, you know, it's an interesting concept. And so when I was on the carrier side, you know, many years ago, it was my mission I used the red carpet rollout. Right in my head is like, how do I give that driver, and it doesn't even have to be a driver, it can be one of my employees, right, the best experience possible when they choose to work for me, right? And so it's kind of a mind shift. It's a, hey, I want to get to know this person. I want to ask for their feedback. I want to be able to praise them. Because as you said, Charles, like a little recognition, how the heck am I doing, right? You and Paul both said, like, we're out there. We don't know how we're doing, right? A little bit of that praise. But understanding that person, what they like, what they dislike, those little touches is what makes a difference.
So what's crazy is Paul and I have had these conversations. We've had guests from outside of just trucking on here. And when we go through these conversations of what problems we have in trucking, and they compare it to what's going on out there, they're like, how are you guys not doing this already? How is this industry operating where respect is a job perk? And it actually goes on an ad somewhere. And someone thought that was a good idea and put money behind it. Or how are we having conversations about evaluating our people and letting them know where they stand? But if you look at drivers particularly, people fail to reach out and say, hey, you're doing good, or hey, this is where you could do better. It's, hey, by the way, you're not doing a great job and we're going to let you go.
I think we've always looked at things in our industry from the negative standpoint, right? And so what it is it our mission to sit there and say, hey, no, let's look at the challenges that drivers face. And I just talked about this at our recent user conference of what are some of the pain points your drivers experience, right? If I'm a driver and I'm stuck at the dock, it's going to happen. It's not a fun experience. Detention time, you know, okay, we have pay in place, right? Carrier from the carrier perspective. But you as the carrier, what can you do? You know what? I'm going to send a personalized message. I'm going to pick up the phone and say, lunch is going to be on us. Next time you stop, lunch is on us, right? It's because you're validating the fact that, yeah, this isn't the easiest job, but you're out there putting your best foot forward. We recognize you for that, right? I mean, that's a game changer. We do it in the office all the time. What do we do when we can't see our drivers or our employees every day? Like, you have to make an effort.
Oh, and I think that's the key right there. Make an effort. Don't take the easy low-hanging fruit method of, hey, the driver's in the chair, we're just going to churn and burn, and if they leave and go somewhere else, we'll fill another one. Yes, obviously there's the cost savings. Obviously we get to look in the mirror and feel better about ourselves, but I think just a more wholesome approach here of going from top to bottom and saying, I don't care if you're the CEO or you're the driver or you're the janitor, we're going to treat you with the same respect. We're going to listen to what you have to say, and we're going to entertain those conversations, goes a long way.
Huge. And it starts with culture, right? It starts at the top. So whenever we talk about, like, hey, what's the secret sauce? Everybody has to be on board. It can't just be, hey, I want you to go treat drivers with respect, if you're not respecting your employees, right? If or dispatch, I always like to think dispatch. They're like, okay, so we're going to go out there and do all this recognition. What do we get in turn? Nobody's validating me in my position. So it's a group effort when we talk about retention engagement. It's a company culture, and that company culture gets set, and then it bleeds out throughout the organization all the way down.
Awesome. Well, if someone wanted to reach out to you and get more of these insights and tap into some of that experience, how would they do so?
Well, they can reach out, always go to our website, right? So 10street.com. They can reach out to me on LinkedIn, Becca Matthews. I'd always be happy to connect, answer questions, and kind of help them set themselves up for success as well.
Well, thanks for coming on Cents Per Mile, Becca. I look forward to seeing more of the stuff you got going. And I think it's time to kick it off, Paul.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
So yeah, I mean, that's, you know, those were some really good conversations about retention. And I think that's huge. And as an industry, we struggle with that with our drivers. You know, 120% turnover isn't normal. And in an ideal world, it'd be wonderful if drivers began to have such a great employment experience that we ended up with a super low retention rate, or a super high retention rate. Sorry about that. And so with that, because we have a low one, so it'd be awesome if we had a super high retention rate and, you know, like higher than other industries instead of being lower than other industries. Because, you know, like we should drive ourselves to be so good to our drivers and give them such a good experience that we put people like Charles Gracie out of a job.
Hey, I would welcome that. You know why? We could podcast for a living. AI is about to replace you anyway.
All right, gentlemen, speaking of retention, we are out of time. So let's wrap this episode up.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to Cents Per Mile. I'm your host, Charles Gracie.
And I'm your co-host, Paul Gibson. See you next time.